The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of my favorite writers and theologians, Pastor Frederick Buechner, wrote the following in relation to the season of Lent. The quote is actually on the back of your bulletin. After being baptized, Jesus went off alone into the wilderness where he spent 40 days asking himself the question, what it meant to be Jesus. That is a remarkable way to describe what happens between the Jordan River and Jesus' public ministry. In the previous chapter of Matthew, when Jesus is baptized by John, the heavens open wide and a voice declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In that very moment, Jesus' identity is spoken over him. Before he has preached a sermon, healed a disease, or even gathered a disciple. And then immediately, as we heard in our reading today, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, did you catch that? Identity declared in baptism. Identity tested in the wilderness. One after the other. Identity declared, identity tested. I think the idea of identity is crucial to understanding what's happening in the wilderness. The tempter begins each of the first two temptations with the very same slithering phrase, "If." If you are the Son of God, if. It is the same strategy that the serpent used in the book of Genesis. Did God really say? It's a question. It's a question that immediately plants doubt. It's a whisper that unsettles trust. It's a suggestion that perhaps God's word is not quite enough, and neither are you. Temptation, at its very core, is not first about bread or power or spectacle. It's about identity. It's about who you are and whose you are. The poet Charles Baudelaire once suggested that one of Satan's greatest accomplishments is convincing people he does not exist. That idea found new cultural life in the 1995 film The Usual Suspects, where the mysterious Kaiser Soze manipulates everyone precisely by making them believe that he is only a myth. The devil's favorite disguise is invisibility. Now, it's important to remember that Scripture does not treat evil as something vague, something abstract. In the book of Job, Satan converses with God. In Matthew 4, the reading we just heard, he speaks directly to Jesus in the wilderness. In 1 Peter 5, he is described as a roaring lion prowling, looking for someone to devour. In 2 Corinthians 4, he is called the God of this world who blinds minds. And in 1 John 5, we are told the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And yet, whether we imagine him as a horned caricature or reduce him to a metaphor, his most effective tactic remains the same: to distort, to twist, to manipulate, to bend your very identity. In the garden, the serpent undermines trust in God and invites Adam and Eve to craft their identity apart from God. And what do? They try. And the result is shame, blame, and fracture. Now, in the wilderness, that same playbook is opened up again. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. In other words, prove yourself. Use your power for yourself. Turn your hunger into self-sufficiency. But Jesus refuses. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What does it mean to be the Son of God? It means trust. It means dependence. It means receiving life as a gift, not grasping at it as possession. The second temptation: if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Prove that God will protect you. Force God's hand. Make your identity undeniable through some sort of spectacle. Again, Jesus refuses. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, the third temptation drops the if. The devil no longer questions whether Jesus is the Son of God. Instead, he offers him a shortcut to power. All these kingdoms I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Here it is, laid bare, identity for allegiance, glory without the cross, authority without obedience. Jesus answers, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Notice how Jesus resists, not with bravado, not with thunder, but with Scripture, with relationship. being rooted and grounded in God the Father. He does not prove he is God's son by dramatic display. He lives as God's son by trusting the Father and reflecting him out into the world. And because Jesus stands firm in the wilderness because he refuses to redefine himself apart from God, we discover that in this moment, the story is not only about him, the story is also about you and me. Just like Jesus, at our baptism, a word was spoken over us as well. Not audibly from the sky, perhaps, but no less powerfully. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Forever. Listen for those words every time we gather around the font. Baptism is not some symbolic decoration. In that moment, through water and God's word, it is an identity declaration. Before you achieve anything, before you fix anything, before you prove anything, you are first and foremost God's beloved, child of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And yet, almost immediately, we find ourselves in wilderness places. We hear that slanderer, the accuser, the devil, Diablos, which literally means the one who throws apart, scatters, or divides by force. We hear that voice, if you were really God's child, you wouldn't struggle like this. If you were really faithful, you wouldn't doubt. If you were really worthy, you'd look different, you'd act different, you'd be smarter, you'd be richer, more successful, more powerful. Our consumer culture amplifies that very same lie. You are not enough, not yet. But do I have something for you? Buy this, achieve this, improve yourself, then, just maybe then, you will be acceptable. The truth is, the wilderness today may not be sand and stone. It may be the very quiet of your own thoughts at 3 a.m. It may be the voice in your head that tells you you are a disappointment, that you are not enough. It may be the fear that you have to secure your life all by yourself, go at it alone. The devil rarely shows up with horns. He shows up as insecurity, as accusation, as distortion, as manipulation. And the devil wants you to believe that you are worthless and all alone. Martin Luther understood this. He wrestled with his own demons, after all. When plagued by doubt, temptation, or despair, Luther advised fighting the devil with scripture, with music, and with joyful company. He advised marking yourself with the sign of the cross on your forehead and reciting the Lord's Prayer. And if all of these failed, Luther, known for his humor, suggested mocking the devil, stating that when all else fails to drive away Satan's accusations, he would, and I quote, instantly chase him away with a fart. Now that's true, I promise you. You can look it up. I think that's the first time I've ever said that word from the pulpit. But you get the idea. Now, in all seriousness, Luther had another response that I believe was far more powerful. When standing face to face with evil, when standing face to face with darkness, it is said that Luther would shout, "Away with you, Satan, I am baptized." Not I am strong, not I am certain, not I am perfect, I am baptized. I am baptized. In other words, in that moment, he would shout whose he was. He would shout his identity, grounded not in performance, but in deep promise. The wilderness, my dear friends, reveals what kind of Messiah he will be. The cross reveals what kind of God we have. A God who does not stand at a distance demanding proof, but who enters into our very own wilderness. A God who knows hunger, who knows temptation, who knows grief, who knows pain, who knows abandonment, who knows what it feels like to be all alone. And because of that, your identity is secure. Now, I know that each and every one of us at some point, at some time in our lives, has struggled with and experienced our own wilderness. The wilderness of uncertainty, where we may be tempted to take matters into our own hands, to not trust, to go at it alone. The wilderness of an identity crisis, where we are tempted to define ourselves by performance, success, and the approval of others. The wilderness of grief, where we are tempted to believe that God is absent and we are all by ourselves. The wilderness of power and ambition, where we are tempted to sacrifice integrity for success and worship our own achievements. The wilderness of loneliness, where we are tempted to believe the lie that we are alone and forgotten. The wilderness of waiting, where we are tempted to be cynical and give up. So what does it mean during this season of Lent, as Buechner would suggest, to be who we are in Christ? What does it mean to be baptized? It means that we do not have to turn stones into bread to prove our worth. It means we do not have to throw ourselves down to force God's attention. It means that we do not have to bow to a lesser God to secure power or safety. It means that you and I are free, free to trust, free to depend, free to love, free to worship the Lord our God and serve only Him. And here's the good news. The Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness is the same Spirit who led Him out. And that same Spirit given to you in baptism will do the same. The wilderness is not the end of the story. It is the place where false identities die and true identity is clarified. So lean in and listen up. You are not what the slanderer says. You are not what your worst mistake in life says. You are not worthless, and you are not and never alone. Because you are what God says. Beloved. Beloved. Sealed, marked as Christ's own forever. So when darkness falls and accusations and temptations come, when division creeps in, when you hear voices in your head that make you feel less than, you may not need to shout as loudly as Luther, but you can whisper with promise and certainty and confidence, "Away with you. I am baptized, and I promise you, that's enough." Let it be so. Amen.